Today's episode was brought to you by the Harper Home Team, a realty team covering San Diego, Orange County, and Riverside County since 2000. A family business born and raised right here in San Diego with over 1,400 homes represented. And guess what? They're Padres fans. I know this because they're the team I personally use for all my buying and selling of all the homes that I have. I have so many homes. And we've talked a lot about Fernando Tatis Jr., maybe too much. More on that a little later in the show. If you're looking to buy or sell your home, call the Harper Home Team now. 760-456-5846. That's 760-456-5846. Or just go to harperhometeam.com. You have the internet. You can do this. harperhometeam.com. You get a free consultation to build your home buying roadmap. Do it.
Voice of San Diego is the region's most popular public affairs podcast. Every week I get together with my co-hosts Andrew Keats and Sarah Libby to break down the week's news. And I think if you like keeping up with Nick, Dallas, and Travis on local sports, getting Padres updates, stadium development news, you'd like our show too. It's Voice of San Diego. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh, goodness gracious. Welcome back to Padres canon. Oh, wow. What a doozy of an episode last week. Big thanks to Coach Lou, Scott Lewis from Voice of San Diego, for joining us and offering up an unbelievable candidate for the Padres canon. And Padres Twitter, you agreed with Coach Lou. Overwhelmingly so. The 76 or 78% of you voted yes, that he deserves to be a part of the Padres canon. And you know what that means? That means everyone on their feet, take off your hats, hand over your hearts. Now take off your pants, because it's time, boys and girls, to officially welcome Yan Hervis Solarte into the unofficial Padres canon. Oh, we welcome you, and we miss your joy on the field, your smile, and your scrappiness round and second. Yan Hervis Solarte, you're a good guy, and we miss you here in San Diego. But let's move on. It's time to move on to another good guy, another good guest, another good ball player. Ladies and gentlemen, you know most of you as one of the founders of Padres Podcasting. Been doing it longer than most anybody I can think of other than me. Yeah, that's right. We're tooting our horns this week because my guest is one of my absolute best friends in the entire world, Mr. Nick McCann from the Kept Faith. Let's not wait any longer. He's got a lot to say about this outfielder. Oh my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're back again and we have a fantastic guest with us because he's not really a guest. I mean, he's just part of the team. He is the team leader, the founder of the Kept Faith himself, Mr. Nick McCann. Hello, Nick McCann.
Hey, Dallas, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. This is funny for me to be introing you when it's usually the other way around.
You did a better job than I do with you, I think. We got to figure something out.
Yeah, it's just different styles. I'm very, very drunk right now.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, you focused on a certain era for your picks, and I'm excited to do talk about both of them. But the first one we have to talk about is the man himself, in some respect, Mr. Will Venable. Let's give a deeper dive into Will Venable. He was born in 1982, which means he's closer to our age, so that makes me kind of happy. Yeah. Most people. He was originally drafted, if I'm not mistaken, by the I think he was originally drafted by the I'm gonna find it. I lost it and I can't believe I did that already.
It's okay.
You know what? I'm gonna edit through this part, or I'm not. It doesn't matter. Baltimore Orioles. But he decided not to go. He decided to stay at Princeton. And then the next year he was drafted in 2005 by the Padres in the seventh round. Past that, he really spent most of his career with the Padres in San Diego during a very, very interesting era of the San Diego Padres franchise. After the Padres, he was tossed around a little bit. We'll get into that later. A lot of people who are our age and younger know who Will Venable is as kind of just a mainstay, yet you decided that he belongs in the canon. Why is that true?
Well, I was looking at that period, you know, the after after the 07 run, basically the 05 to 07 run, you're in the full in swing with the Bud Black era. And he comes up in 08 and he connects all the way to the Preller big trade flourish that he made, you know, the Preller's December, which we call it, you know, and he's part of that. And, you know, he comes up with a lot of promise. He has a lot of potential and it never really happens. He has a pretty strong year in 2013. Other than that, he's pretty erratic. He's hot for stretches and then kind of falls apart. He's always a smart player. People always respected him. It seems like he was very good at talking to the media. He's well-spoken and people liked him generally. But he connects all the way into that. His peak era period with the Padres is 2013. And that's one of those forgotten years that I don't remember really. I mean, we were working on a show for Fox Sports San Diego during that, but I actually don't remember much of the team at that time, that 13-14 period where he's actually he's playing in the most games and seasons and it looks like he's going to be a guy. Those are kind of the forgotten years, the Jed Jerko years, you know, those in between Preller coming in and changing things and that 2010 run, that period. And I think it's a big chunk of time and it's something that, you know, the children should be reminded of. And because the Padres Hall of Fame doesn't really always do the job, you know, the Padres canon should be something they can look at to learn the story of the Padres. And I think you can't tell the story of the Padres between Bochy's exit and Preller's entrance without studying the career of Will Venable. I think it's all there.
It's an incredible case. It's an incredible case. He's the through line, basically. He's the through line of mediocrity. Yeah. And what's amazing is you brought up 2013. And in 2013, he was voted as the Padres' most valuable player in 2013. That is an incredible thing that I didn't think happened. And didn't even think it could happen. And that's amazing. You're talking about the power combo in 2013 of Venable and Chris DiNorfia.
Yeah, they famously were platooned. And I don't know. It seems like people have this weird soft spot for that combo, even though they both weren't particularly special. I mean, if you say Chris DiNorfia at the fourth inning meetup, like people will get warmed in their hearts about it. It's like, oh yeah, Norf, you know, like, yeah, but really it was pretty mediocre and generally sad, right? Because we have this guy, Will Venable, who's just, he's supposed to be a guy who's going to be a star almost. I mean, it seems like he was being framed as being a star and it just never happened. And that really is what that period was, right? We have this team and it doesn't come together for them.
Well, his dad, Max Venable, was a major leaguer. So he had pedigree. He's one of those players that he had a good look. Like if you looked at him at the plate, he looked like he should be able to do anything he wanted to do. And, you know, he was an okay defender in the outfield. Everything was there for him. But yeah, you're right. It doesn't seem like he ever, except for that, I guess that one season in 2013, it doesn't seem like he ever really put it all together.
By one season, he hits 22 home runs and it's like he hits like 268, you know, it's like nothing special, but that's the closest we got to thinking this guy could be something, you know.
He was like a poor man's Raul Ibanez to some degree.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I mean, he could play all the outfield positions basically. And it's, there's these certain players come off as really smart players and capable. But when you really start looking at his career and just the dark patches that he would have at the plate, where it's just, he'd have 3 weeks where you thought he would be, you know, the next Roberto Clemente or something like that. And then he would go dark for two months, you know, it's stuff like that.
What's weird about Will Venable to me is being the through line of the mediocre, you know, years into what was Preller trying to kind of form a new team, a powerhouse, which we seem to be now. He was kind of sold to us as he's going to be the future of this franchise. But two things about that was, when I also don't feel like he ever really was sold to us. Like, I don't feel like there was a campaign around Will Venable. I think it was almost just his ability to be there which made everyone kind of feel like, I mean, like the Klesko-Nevin years, like they were definitely hammering home. Look at Klesko, look at Nevin. Like, this is our team. We're going to be huge. But with Venable, it was just like, hey, it's Will Venable again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, well, the Nevin Klesko Giles era, I would say, is like, those guys were already established as fully formed players. Will Venable just sits on this edge of potential where it's like, oh, it's going to happen this year. You know, this is the year. And he was able, I don't think he did this. Obviously, he couldn't control this, but it seemed like Padres fans were suspended in this belief that he was like always 27. He's always like 27 years old. Exactly. And he's like, we saw something last year, but, and this is the year. And he has three, he has that stretch. I think it's 12, 13, 14, where he plays about 146 to 150 games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he's like a starting player for them. And it's not special. And it just was special. And, you know, that takes us into when he's actually on the team in 2015, when they're that period right before Bud Black gets fired.
Mm.
And, you know, Bud finally has talent. And do you remember the narrative that everybody was latching onto during that? Will Venable was bumped out of the outfield, and the whole media, San Diego media, team controlled media, they all thought it was the biggest display of, you know, team first attitude. Like, Will Venable just, you know, he's making a sacrifice because he's letting Justin Upton play. You know, like, it became this big idea that, you know, this is what a pro does. This is what a great teammate is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he finally ended up, I think when, after Will Myers went down, he comes in and actually plays a lot and plays well. He hit pretty well that year for those meaningless games after, you know, they fell off a cliff, but then he finally gets traded. But yeah, I mean, I always thought that, I think people are going to have an outsized remembrance of his career as time goes on. I think he's going to age well in people's minds. If you bring up Will Venable now, people are very fond of him in a really bizarre way.
Well, I think you're right. I think he seemed like a guy who was playing subpar baseball on a mostly subpar team and seemed to be completely fine with all of that. Like, he never, you know, he never caused a scene. He never was upset. He just went out and played and he was consistent for him. I mean, looking at the numbers, he never hit above 300 in any season, no matter how many games he played. Came up in 2008. And like you said, his agelessness has always been an interesting topic, but he came up at, he was 25 when he actually made his major league debut, which is a little late for a major leaguer. And then he just always appeared to be 25 to 27, even when he's today, even now, today, you look at him and you probably, like 20, 27, 28. But he always hit, you know, his highest batting average was .268 in 2013.
Yeah, that's
that was his best year, 22 home runs. The very next year, he dropped to 8 home runs. And I know a lot of these stats for a lot of people don't matter, but he, the one thing about Will Venable that I think a lot of people enjoyed is that, you know, he didn't strike out a ton, but he also, you know, but except for when he had 2013 was his worst year for strikeouts. That's when he was your everyday guy.
Played in the most games.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, he wasn't a guy who went up and you were like, oh God, Venable's up. You know, every time Venable up, you thought maybe something was going to happen. If you move to advanced stats, you know, in his 9 seasons, that's including when he played in a couple of games for Texas and the Dodgers, he has a career 13 WAR, which is not bad. It's, you know, it's, we've had worse on this show that we're Padres, but
I mean, like, it sounds like we're describing a pretty meaningless Padre, right? Like, he's not somebody that we should be putting in the canon, but I think the suspension of our perceived potential of him, that he's always on the cusp of becoming a fully formed player that's valuable. Like, it also, that's all happening when John Moores and the Morad group are switching back control. And it's this really this era of uncertainty where it's, you don't know what's going to happen. And I feel like that period in Padres history, I feel this weird blurriness and maybe like the potential of Will Venable got caught up in that. And that's emblematic of something. So I think, you know, that whole period where it's being, you know, John Moores is selling it to the Morad group and that kind of falls apart and gets sold back to him before they sell it finally in 2012. this player got caught up in the mix in that when we didn't really know what was going on, and maybe we just overvalued his positive attitude. That's what it feels like. And that should be in the canon. I don't know.
I think you're right. I think as much as, let's say, I mean, I brought him up twice now, I guess maybe I have a thing about him, but as much as like Ryan Klesko was kind of the poster boy for the post 1998 World Series team into the Petco Park era, Will Venable was definitely the poster boy for those weird years where it just seemed like we were trying to figure out if we could be the 2003 Miami Marlins, Florida Marlins, who just, you know, randomly ran into a championship with this team of almost nobodies. And it felt like that's definitely what they were trying to do. Some other notable things though, to throw out about Venable, just so people, you know, because I mean, your basis for his inclusion, I think, is valid, that he was the poster boy for an era of the Padres. And what's funny is when I brought him up, he was wearing the picture they have of him is wearing those terrible camo jerseys. And almost in my mind, that's how I always envisioned him, is wearing those terrible camo jerseys. Like he's almost a representative of that era of the Padres.
Well, I'm also taking, I think if you pick Will Venable from that era, you're also, he gives you a piece of like the same frustration that you had with Cameron Maben. Mm-hmm. It's a little of the same frustration with Casey Kelly, Corey Lupke, you know, these players that are Tim Stauffer. I think you get all of that with Will Venable, and he should be the one that we save and we pick out and say of that was of a piece, but it's basically Will Venable is the, should be the signature of that group. You know.
I
want to hear some. I want to hear some other great. No, facts some,
these
it.
Are the great stats actually. Yeah. And he finished amongst the top 10 in the National League in triples 4 times and in stolen bases 2x. He has the most MLB career hits and home runs of any Princeton alumnus. That's a pretty interesting because Princeton usually has really good baseball teams. His average batting average, career batting average is .249. He had 81 home runs in his career and 307 runs batted in. As mentioned, just so everybody, we can follow along at home, after the Padres, he was traded to the Texas Rangers for a bunch of nobodies that you'll never remember in your life. And then he was granted free agency in 2015, signed with the Indians in 2016, never saw the field with the Indians. Then released, signed with the Phillies, never saw the field with the Phillies, released, and then signed with the Dodgers in 2016. Played on, I think it was 20 games, maybe 12, I'm not sure. I could be dyslexic. And then he was granted free agency. Will Venable now, though, is a coach. So he's staying in baseball, and given his pedigree, there's no reason why he shouldn't. He was named in 2017 as a special assistant to the Chicago Cubs president, Theo Epstein, a little San Diego connection there. And then he served as the first base coach of the Cubs in 18 and 19. And then right now, 2020, as of November 2020, he was the bench coach for the Boston Red Sox. So you got a little hometown love in your house there, right?
I think he is going to, this is my prediction with him.
Sure.
He is going to have a position of significance with the San Diego Padres at some point in our lifetime. I think he's either going to be a head coach for the pod. Can't you see like head?
Yeah, that's a good call. That's
Will
a good
Venable.
Call.
And people are going to have this weird feeling of security with it. Like he's a Padre.
He's kind of, so go ahead.
But I think he could also be like, he could end up being a GM, or like, he could be like team president, Will Venable.
Totally. And I think the biggest thing about Will Venable is when you think of guys like that, who are bench coaches or wind up as managers or whatever, like you look at their career and those careers kind of mirror what Will Venable's career was. He was there. Nobody hated him. Nobody loved him. He was just there and he was consistent at what he did and likable. And that's almost every major league manager at some point was like, oh, I remember that guy. Yeah, he was pretty good. Yeah, that's it. And that's all you remember from Will Venable.
And he's not a star, so he can relate to players that aren't just naturally amazing. He can it's happening. I'm so completely convinced that in my lifetime, Will Venable will be the manager or maybe a GM or team president or something. One of those three jobs he's going to have as a Padre. And there's going to be this reimagining of his career where people are look back and go, I just loved him. And he really was. I think he had a great personality. He had a great smile. He was a bright spot, kind of.
Sometimes.
It didn't really manifest itself on the field. But he, you know, he
was there.
Somebody that people have a soft spot for him, and it's really bizarre. But I think it was a tough era, and maybe people just are suspended in that feeling that he is a bright spot in it. And I think they can really sell him.
I understand where you're coming from. So let's say this. If he was included, as we're saying here, this is in the Padres Hall of Fame, this Padres canon, the big book of the history of the San Diego Padres. We open the book, and on that page, should we feature Will Venable? Nick, obviously your vote is yes, right?
Yeah, I do.
Your vote is yes. You know what? And I, so far, I'm going to go along with you because he was that consistent guy for me in so many years. So I will also vote yes, but it's not up to us. Those are just our two votes. It's up to you, Padres Twitter, San Diego Padres fans. Go to the Kept Faith, at the Kept Faith on Twitter. It'll be the pinned tweet. You can vote. Does Will Venable belong in the Padres canon, in the history, the annals of time? Does Will Venable belong there? Go to at the Kept Faith on Twitter. Tell us what you think. Two votes yes from us, but you guys are going to be the ultimate decider. We'll announce on the show next week if Will Venable made it in or if he got booted. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, Nick hosts the Kept Faith podcast, which is right on the feed you're listening to. So make sure you follow that. And you can also follow Nick on Twitter if you want, right?
Yep.
What's
at @Nicholas_McCann.
That's right. So, we're both underscores. Yeah. We're both underscores.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
We got in 2009.
Look out, San Diego.